The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 22nd, 2024.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my co-producer, my partner, my engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a great day it is here in Sonoma County. I don't think it's going to be too hot today. I'm really, really happy about that one. Well, this morning I have a very special guest for this show. Joining me on the phone will be Camarina Schwartz Davidson. She's the president of the California Now National Organization for Women. And we're going to be talking about the upcoming conference that's happening here in Sonoma County. I'm so excited on August 10th. And also, we'll just be talking about Now and the organization. Let me just tell you a little bit about them. I mean, this is one of the oldest organizations since the second level of the women's movement in the 60s. As a grassroots arm of the women's movement, the National Organization for Women is dedicated to its multi-issue and multi-strategy approach to women's rights and is the largest organization of feminist grassroots activists in the United States. Now has hundreds of chapters and hundreds of thousands of members and activists in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Since its founding in 1966, Now's purpose is to take action through intersectional grassroots activism to promote feminist ideals, lead social change, eliminate discrimination, and achieve and protect the equal rights of all women and girls in all aspects of social, political, and economic life. And I really encourage folks to come out. I'm going to talk a little bit about the conference in just a few moments. But I just wanted everybody to know about Now, to know about that it is one of the oldest women's organizations since the New Wave. And it, like I said, it started in 1966. And I'm proud to be a member. I'm also proud to be a former president. And I'm also proud to be the treasurer of Sonoma County's chapter. I mean, it really makes me feel good to be part of this organization, and I just can't wait for the conference to start happening. Well, I'm going to do a few announcements here. A real wonderful thing that's happening, one of my favorite people, Greg Saras, you know, he's a very, very supportive human being in our county. And on Saturday, July 27th, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, he's going to be at the Glazer Center, and that's going to be at 547 Mendocino Avenue. And he's going to be talking about his book called The Forgetters. And so I think that's going to be just amazing being able to see him in person. So that's going to be Saturday, July 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. And that's going to be at the Glazer Center. Another thing that's happening on August 5th, and I want to do a shout out to the organizers of this. And I just want to remind people, everything that I am saying is on our website, www.womenspaces.com. Well, there's a wonderful, wonderful movie that's going to be happening. It's called Where Olive Trees Weep. I mean, it. You know, when I start thinking about this, Where Olive Trees Weep, you know, what happened in Gaza and in the Middle East there is that during these wars is they tore up all these ancient, ancient, ancient olive trees. And there's going to be a film on that, and it's going to be on Monday, August 5th. The doors open at 6 o'clock, and the movie's at 6:30. And it's Christ Church United Methodist. That's Christ Church United Methodist at 1717 Yalupa Avenue in Santa Rosa. It's a searing window into the struggles and resilience of the Palestinian people under Israeli occupation. And the director was Zaya Benazzo and Ashia Darwish, and they're going to be there at the Christ Church United Methodist. They're going to be answering all questions and discussion. And I found out that it is free. It is free with a donation, and it's sponsored by the Peace and Justice Center of Sonoma County. So I suggest that, like I said, all this information is going to be on www.womenspaces.com. And also, if you go to the Peace and Justice Center in their website, you'll also see all the information on there. And I think it's a very important film to see. I mean, it really gives you know, people throw around like, oh, we're going to have a revolution, let's have a war, or whatever they're talking about. They don't realize what a struggle it is. And when you see films like this and you really see the damage that happens during war and conflict, you know, you really, I hope in my heart of hearts that we find a way to work all this stuff out a little bit more peacefully. And also, right now, we're living in such historic moments. I mean, I can't believe it. Our own president, who was running for a second term, decided to step down. And I can understand that. You know, he just got COVID, you know, and that probably hit him pretty hard. And I know for myself, I'm 84 years old. I can't imagine all the pressures and stuff that goes on, you know, just being president, just having to appear and having to be judged. I mean, if you sneeze wrong, they judge you. And to think that now we have Kamala Harris, who was the former what was her title when
attorney
she was
general.
She pardon
attorney general.
She was the former attorney general of California. I mean, this is a very, very powerful position, and it's going to be very interesting to see how all this plays out. And I know for women, you know, we're really very, very concerned about how we're losing our right to choose, and I think she is a very, very powerful, powerful candidate. So it's going to be very interesting, you know, here at our radio stations. We're not allowed to endorse candidates, but, you know, I can't help but be a little bit excited, you know, to think of the possibility of her being the president, of having a woman, and hopefully some even greater changes will happen. I mean, we, you know, on a metaphysical level, which sometimes that's where I live, I recognize that oftentimes things happen for their highest and greatest good, and we really don't know how they're going to work out. So I have my fingers and toes crossed that somehow we get out of this, we hold on to our democracy, and we move forward, and we start looking at our culture, looking at what we do for one another, and looking at the importance of love and compassion and empathy for each one of us, to each one of us. I mean, it's not easy living on this planet. It's not easy being alive. But you know something? I get by with a little help with my friends. Remember that song? Wonderful. Well, let me tell you a little bit about, you're invited to Moving Forward, Igniting Change. I love that. Moving Forward, Igniting Change. And that's who I'm going to be interviewing also. I'm going to be interviewing the president of the California Now, and we're going to talk about this conference. And like I said, it's happening. It's a statewide conference. It's happening Saturday, August 10th. It starts at 9 o'clock, and it ends at 6:30. It's going to be at the Church of the Roses in Santa Rosa, which is just amazing, an amazing place, beautiful big room. We're going to have all kinds of different people having tables there, or different organizations. I know I'm so excited. My friend Tina Duggan's going to be there, which she's going to be there with the Lesbian Archives and have some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful pictures. You know, I will be there with Women's Spaces. I'm actually going to be opening the conference with a Women's Spaces pledge, and everybody's going to get a card when they come to the conference. I'm really excited about that. So that's August 10th. That's at the Church of the Roses in Santa Rosa over by Montgomery Village. And like I said, all the information is on www.womenspaces.com. And you can also go to the Facebook of NowSonomaCounty.org. No, excuse me, NowSonoma.org. And you can find out all the information. And I'm so excited because we've got three powerful, powerful speakers. The confirmed speakers, there's three of them. We have, of course, Molly Murphy McGregor. She's the co-founder of the National Women's History Alliance. I mean, just think, if it wasn't for Molly Murphy McGregor and the group that she worked with, we would not have a whole month for Women's History. And also Women's History Day and Equality Day and all the wonderful ways that we celebrate our gender, being a woman. I mean, I'm really excited about that. And then the second speaker we're going to have is Dr. Kim D. Hester Williams. She's a teacher and at Sonoma State University in women and gender studies. an amazing, amazing speaker, and she will give us a wonderful, wonderful background on African-American women and their struggle. And Dr. Williams is just one of these people that once she stops, you say, oh, my goodness, I wish she'd go on for another half hour. That's how good she is. I've seen her several times. And then our last speaker is going to be one of the board members here at KBBF, Madonna Feather Cruz. She's an elder advocate, and she worked with the Federation of Indians of Great and Rancheria. And Madonna works specifically with indigenous women and some of the issues that they're having, especially around a lot of the disappearance that's going on. And so I'm really excited about seeing these three women. And there's going to be two workshops. We're going to have some wonderful singers. I mean, it's just going to be a wonderful gathering. And right now, with what's going on with women and how we're struggling and fearing losing our right to choose, it's time to gather. It really is. It's time to come together and gather. You know, we've got to stand together, united, and say enough is enough. We want a better world for our children. We want peace. We want quiet, you know? Well, we're all trying, and that's the best that we can do. Well, you know, like we do every Monday, we do our history is our strength. Now, why do I do that? Because we're standing on the shoulders of so many, many, many wonderful women. And it's good to hear what they've done because they have courage. They had the courage to stand up. They had the courage to speak out. And for myself personally, when I read up about these women and I see what they have accomplished, it gives me confidence. It helps ease my fear when I have to say something or, you know, maybe I'm against something or somebody's doing something that I don't like, that I have to stand up and say something. And I think of a lot of these different women and what they went through to get all of us where we are. So today's July 22nd, and I want to wish a happy birthday to Miriam Underhill. This to me is an amazing woman. She was born on July 22nd, 1898, and she made her transition in 1976. And that was Miriam Underhill. She was a mountaineer and environmentalist, and she led the first all-women ascent of the Matterhorn in 1932, and she developed what was known as the manless climbing, which means all-women climbing groups. And the Matterhorn is kind of a huge mountain to climb, and here she led this group of women, and all of a sudden we had women climbing groups. You know, before that, I mean, oh my goodness, women should not, you know, God, they'd had to wear pants and climb up a mountain. I mean, it was a big no. But in 1932, that's what she did. Amazing. I mean, when you think about some of these things. And then the second birthday I want to say happy birthday to is Harriet Strong. She was an agriculturist and inventor, and she patented water storage dams. I mean, to think that a woman created that. She was an engineer, which was very unusual at her time. And, you know, she was born July 23rd, 1844, and just we only had the vote in 1929 for 9 years. So here was this woman, and she invented water storage dams. Another interesting woman that I think is really, really interesting, and she was born July 23rd, 1917, and she made her transition in 1984, and that was Barbara Denning. And she was an influential nonviolent activist, writer, and poet. She marched for peace and civil rights, women's rights, and very importantly, she was one of the first women to stand up for lesbian and gay rights. And I know during the women's movement, that was one of the things that was so powerful, that the lesbian women actually and the gay women had a chance to stand up and say, I count, I matter. And it's very important, because as women, we must accept each other on all levels. You know, it's all a matter of choice. My belief system is do whatever you want as long as you don't harm me. You know, as long as you're not harming anybody, you're making a decision for yourself. You're not trying to push it on everybody else. I mean, that's what's so frustrating about today's world. All of a sudden, there's this group called Christian Nationalists, and they think that they know the answer for all of us. Nobody knows the answer for all of us. I mean, we barely know the answer for ourselves, let alone a huge collective. But each one of us have a right to make a choice over our own bodies, our own lifestyle. But it doesn't mean we have to pull someone else along with us. We find like minds find each other. You know, it's just, I don't understand why there's such a big deal about all this stuff. If we just live and let live, that's my philosophy. Well, here's another woman I think this is really amazing. You know, one of the things that women have always been hounded by, I guess, is, you know, magazines like Glamour magazine. I remember when I was a young kid, I read, love stories. I mean, I got some convoluted idea of what relationships were supposed to be like. Oh, I read my Uncle Murray, I'll never forget this. They got me a 5-year subscription to True Story. And True Story was all about love and relationships in all kinds of different ways. And I'll tell you, you get a very distorted idea about relationships. But especially around Glamour, you know, a woman's supposed to look this way, a woman's supposed to look that way. But this is important because on July, Ruth Whitney, she was born July 23rd, 1928, and made her transition in 1999. And she was a groundbreaking editor of Glamour magazine for 31 years. Before Glamour magazine, women didn't really have a magazine where there were some really good stories or some independent actions or independent stories coming out. And she was one of the editors that introduced social topics in the magazine and also was responsible for putting the first African-American woman on the cover of the magazine, of Glamour magazine. So I just thought that was worth mentioning. But on some level, things like Glamour magazine were not very productive for women. But, you know, in a way, I don't know. I don't know anymore. What do I know? And here's a very, very important birthday, a woman who was very influential, especially on the second wave of the women's movement, which started in the 1960s and moved all the way down to the 1980s. And right now, I mean, we're really in a place that I really don't understand. We're losing all the different rules and regulations that we made that favored women, especially around choice. And so this woman's birthday was July 24th, 1920. So she was born with the vibration in the air when the women first got the vote, and that was Bella Abboud. She was a lawyer, a political activist, a congressional representative from New York from 1973 to 1977, and she initiated the proposal for Women's Equality Day. And an amazing woman. She really stood up. In fact, there's a great, if people really want to see what it was like during the 60s and during the 70s when the women were starting to organize again, and Jimmy Carter and his wife, they made it was a women's congress that they were all able to meet. And Bella Abberg was really somebody that had a huge influence. And if you see, there's a film on Netflix called Mrs. America. It really gives you the flavor of what these women were going through to get rights for women, to get choice, to have a right to have our choice over our bodies, to have a right to have abortion. And you know, it's so interesting. People ask me, why are you so adamant about having abortion and the right to have an abortion? Well, I had an aunt, unfortunately, that almost died because of a backdoor abortion. And that's what really got me moving when I thought, no, because you never know. It could happen to any one of us. Any one of us at any time, that all of a sudden, even though we believe in right to life and all that other choice, all those other things, one day something comes along that maybe you're going to have that procedure. And it's very important that as women we have the right to choose. And then my last person, which I think is really very, very interesting, because a union woman. She was born July 27th, 1891, and made her transition in 1980, and that was Myrtle Lawrence. And she was a sharecropper and a labor organizer. She worked with the biracial Southern Tenant Farmers Union from 1936 to 1943. Imagine a woman working with these tenant farmers. I mean, and most of them were African American, and they were seeking rights What kind of rights were they seeking? They wanted a decent place to live, right? They were sharecroppers. They wanted a decent place to live. They wanted to be able to have enough money for food to take care of their children, maybe a little schoolhouse, you know, to have their children go to school. And this woman worked really hard from 1936 to 1943, and she was honored on the 1976 Bicentennial Freedom Train Exhibition. Amazing. It was a train that went all the way through the United States, Freedom Train, in 1976. Amazing, amazing woman. Well, that's a lot to think about, and now we're just about ready to get into our show, and we're going to take a musical break right now, and the song I'm going to be playing, and because we're going to be talking to Camarina Schwartz, and she's going to be talking about the up-and-coming National Organizations for Women California Conference happening here in Sonoma County, and I thought this was an appropriate song called Gather the Woman, sung by Earth Mama. You know, Earth Mama Joy Roos, you know, she believes in helping heal the planet one song at a time. So let's go ahead and play that song. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Camarina Schwartz Davidson, president of the National Organization for Women California Chapters. And we will be talking about NOW and its historic conference here in Sonoma County.
Gather the women from all around, colors and countries, sizes and shapes, beauty abounds. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for. Gather the women, wisdom and song, honoring spirit, feminine grace, waited so long. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited from all around, colors and countries, sizes and shapes, beauty abounds. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for. We are the ones, we are the ones, we are the ones we have waited for.
Yes, and we are going to gather here in Sonoma County on Saturday, August 10th, 2024. Well, welcome back, and I want to remind you, for you listening, I want to remind my listeners, the opinions expressed here, not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want you to introduce my guest. Joining me on the phone is Camarina Schwartz Davidson, the president of the California Chapters for the National Organization for Women, NOW. Welcome, Camarina. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm really happy to have you, you know. And, you know, this is your second time around. So I thought, you know, let me just tell a little bit about you, and then if you could just elaborate a little bit. Tell our listeners just whatever you feel is important. You know, I quote, Camarina believes in the power of grassroots organizing to advance feminist priorities to create equity for women and girls in our communities. This was the single focus that first drew her to the National Organization for Women NOW in high school. So tell us a little bit more about that. You know, you worked for nonprofit organizations for 15 years, both as a entrepreneur and you're also leading director of communications for nonprofit organization. Talk about that. And you're also working with a group called We Spark.
Yes. Yes, I have. And I think one of the things that, like, you know, when I first came to now, when I first discovered now, it was at a time that I knew that I didn't like the way things were happening in terms of behavior that was allowed for my brother and myself growing up. Mm-hmm. And I recognized the difference. And I mean, I did grow up in a very conservative home. So, I mean, it was to be expected at that point, but I knew there was something wrong with it. And by the time I attended my first rally in Washington, D.C., which was around 1989, I started to realize that there were other people who felt very much like I did. And initially, I had connected to a Now chapter that was not active. They were inactive, so I wasn't sure why things were not happening with the NAC. But at that point, after that march, and then the subsequent March for Women's Lives in 92, I had already connected to my current San Gabriel Valley Now chapter, who is very active. Then I felt like, oh, then how I feel about, like, wanting to create change and bring about equality for women and girls, then I really started to feel like I was working on things. And obviously, I continue since then.
Who were some of your role models? I mean, who inspired you at that time?
You know, at the time, obviously Gloria Steinem is a model of a role model for me, as well as for a lot of feminists, because, you know, she has this ability to, like, listen to people and bring together people and organize. So she's like not. She leads by example. She's not like, I'm out here on the front lines doing that, but what she does is that she leads by example of doing that. And I think that's a really important distinction, because she listens to everyone, and then she brings back their stories, and then connects people with other people, which I think is really important, particularly for women in the women's movement, to really do that for each other.
Well, you know what happened? I go to a women's luncheon once a month, and yesterday when I went last night, we sit under this beautiful set of our friend Susan Lamont. You'll meet her when we come to the conference. She's a really strong activist in our community. She has this wonderful tree, and we all sit around in circle, and it's just amazing. I mean, even when we start debating one another, we start, you know, a little hot topic here and there, the fact we're in a circle makes it much more loving and much more together, much more, you know, we're able to talk to one another a lot more freely. So I think it's really important, like what you say, that women need to come together, and that how important it is to organize it. Well, you know, you joined the chapter of Now, and then you went through where did you get your confidence all of a sudden to, you know, now you're going to run to be an officer, and you had to be a lot more visible. Where do you feel that you called to get your confidence, and what motivates you when you have to stand up?
You know, for me, I think, you know, I've thought about this question for a long time. I think it is an intrinsic thing, but, you know, I'm also like first generation American. You know, my parents were immigrants. And sometimes when your parents are immigrants, they kind of rely on you to navigate their world between the American world and their point of view. So then you become, which is, I mean, I don't advocate for it. I don't think that's a great idea. But it just happens that you kind of become the mini adult. So you're like the one talking to all the outside people. You're talking to the schools, you're talking to the doctors, because your parents haven't learned the language yet. So it's like you just become like, you have to be the leader of the family. So then you just become like, oh, okay, you get put in kind of a leadership role, but you're a child still.
Well,
so I think that it comes a little bit from that, but it's also like my own intrinsic need to, like, well, I want to be in charge of my own destiny. I don't want to be like told these are only the roles you can take. You can only be a mother, or you can only be a wife. which I think, you know, those are fine roles, but it's like you shouldn't have limitation on what you should be able to do in your life.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because when I first came to Sonoma State, that's when the height of the women's movement. I mean, Sonoma State was one of the first schools that actually had a women's studies department. And I really realized how limited I was, and not only just in what I was intending to do, but the decisions that I made because of the limitations, you know, getting married, and you know, I had to get married, I had to have a child, you know, all these different things that gave you some sort of credibility. And then all of a sudden, you wake up and say, hey, wait, there's another way to go here. You know, well, what are some of the areas, you know, that you're here you are part of now? And I mean, look at this historic. I mean, as we talked yesterday, all of a sudden the whole political world changed, and now we have a woman that's going to be running for president. You know, but what areas are, you know, just now focus on? Why do you feel it's an important organization, and how are they, you know, how are they moving towards getting more equality, especially getting the ERA? I mean, I can't believe that we just can't get it modified. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So what are some of the focuses that NOW is focusing on today, and why do you think they're important?
Well, one of the things, you know, the important thing, and I think this is why NASH, the NOW organization, is so different, is that, you know, when they first created NOW, the goal really was to be a kind of civil rights movement to speak for women. It was for women. And because nobody was caring about our individual rights as women at that time, which was, you know, like in the mid-60s. So this is why they started that. And I think that's like a key thing about it, is that everything that we should do at National Organization for Women is about advancing that, creating equity. So the areas that are, I mean, well, you know, there's six key issues that we focus on, but for me, what really is what's making me excited about being alive right now, I mean, we were talking about the Equal Rights Amendment and having the possibility of being able to have constitutional equality for all women. And I think with all of the things that are happening, if we can manage to do that one thing, it's going to help in all of the other ways, in terms of the other things that we're working, you know, for economic justice, reproductive rights. All of these other things are going to be helped by the fact that we have a constitutional equality protection under the law, which we don't have now.
It's really wild. I'm looking at the core issues now: economic justice, ending violence against women,
right?
You know, LGBTQIA plus rights, and then of course constitutional equality. And you know, that old saying, "We've come a long way, baby." Because let me tell you something: when NOW first started, they were not quite as diverse as they are today, and so we have really improved who we are. Well, you know, it's you mentioned, and before, you know, we're going to take a musical break. In fact, it's very, very interesting. I just want to let my listeners know that, you know, because we're having the conference on August the 10th, one of our wonderful NOW members, Rebecca, she's got this energy. We produced a calendar for 2020, and we're producing our second one, and we're kind of focusing on the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. And what's so exciting is that we're going to have a little piece in there with the Earth Mama, who is going to be singing our second song, which is Standing on the Shoulders. But before we get into that, you know, one of the things that I do with my guests is I have them give me five questions. And one of the things that Camarina put in, she said that she was reading this book. So I want to know, what is this book you're reading, and what kind of influence does it have on you?
So, you know, I love reading, and I think by reading we kind of get how we get different ideas, and we see different points of view. Right now, I am reading actually three books at the same time. The one that I'm reading is called Vanishing, The Vanishing House,
The what?
And it's called The Vanishing Half. And it's a story about two young women and how they, it's by Britt Bennett, and it's the different, they're twin daughters. They're black women. So one took one stand to do it, but also they're very light, so they can almost pass for white. So one decided she's going to pass for white, and that's where the direction her life's going to take, and the other is going to take a different tact. So it's like a really interesting story. But I'm also reading a book called The Women of Now by Catherine Turk, which is about, you know, the history of now. And I've also started reading a book that just came out by Muriel Fox, who is also one of the founders of Now. And hers is, while I haven't gotten too far in it, it's more like stories about her, Muriel's influence. Have you interviewed her for your show, Elaine? Muriel Fox?
Well, it's amazing. It really is. Well, you know, we're going to take a musical break now, and we're going to play the song Standing on the Shoulders, sung by Earth Mama. And the reason that's very important, this is a very important song because for two reasons. One, during the 75th anniversary of Now, since we got the vote, on the 75th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, this song was the major song for that event. And then with the 2020, with the centennial, this song was one of two. Of course, I Am Woman by Helen Reddy was number one, and Standing on the Shoulders is number two. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Camarita Schwartz, who is the California National Organization for Women's president. And also we're going to talk about the conference that's happening here in Sonoma County on August 10th. And I'm really, really, really excited about that. I mean, we are the home of the National History Alliance here. The National Women's History Alliance. We are the founders here in Sonoma County, and we're going to have one of the main speakers, Molly McGregor, at the conference. And so I'm really excited about that. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play Standing on the Shoulders, sung by Earth Mama. And when we return, we'll be continue our conversation with Camarita Schwartz Davison, the president of the California National Organization for Women. And we're going to talk about the California conference, like I said, that's happening on August 10th. So let's go ahead, Ken. Standing on the Shoulders.
I am standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before me. I am stronger for their courage. I am wiser for their words. I am lifted by their longing for a fair and brighter future. I am grateful for their vision, for their toiling on this earth. We are standing on the shoulders of the ones who came before us. They are saints and they are humans. They are angels, they are friends. We can see beyond the struggles and the troubles and the challenge. When we know that by our efforts, things will be better in the end. By their passion for our liberty, I will stand a little
You know, as many times as I heard that song, I never heard the last line, the ones who will follow me. And I thought about that for a second. And I thought the message that I would like to portray or give or put out today is that to think about that. What are you leaving behind for your children? How are you active? How are you standing up for the rights of women, for the right to choose, for the right to control their own bodies? I mean, the right to have an amendment to the Constitution that says, yes, we do have equal rights. It was just amazing. The song all of a sudden just kind of got to me. Anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I'm in conversation this morning with the president of the California National Organization for Women, all the California chapters, and we're going to be having the national their conference here in Sonoma County. I'm talking with Camarena Schwartz Davison. Welcome back, Camarena, and let's get into the conference. And I want to ask you one little favor: get your voice up. Close to the phone, because for the last segment we're having a little bit of a hard time understanding you, because you got to get closer to the phone. Phone interviews are very interesting. Well, what can we expect from the California Now annual state conference this year, and why Sonoma County?
I had a conversation with Amy, who's the Sonoma County president, about how would it be if Sonoma County sponsored or hosted the conference, mainly because we had the previous year we hosted it in West Hollywood, California, which is great, but we wanted to have like a different field. We wanted to have something a little bit different. And while I had been in Sonoma County many times, I just didn't really know and understand about the people of Sonoma, in Sonoma County, and how progressive and how open and friendly they are. I just hadn't realized that. So I think that's one of the things that I'm excited about, having it there with the people of Sonoma County. And of course, other people from other chapters will join us as well. But,
Let me just inject something. I remember our conversation also. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I said is that we are the home of the National Women's History Alliance. That the fact that here in Sonoma County, if we hadn't had this alliance, we would not have a whole month of women's history, or even it was a week, and then it was a whole month. So I really, really appreciate that you did choose to come here, because I remember that conversation too. And I'm really surprised often, and that's another thing that it really excites me about having the conference here, is because oftentimes many, many women don't know what's going on in this county. Like you said, it's very progressive, and I mean, wait till you see the people that show up. It's just going to be amazing.
Yes, and I'm very much looking forward to that, but I'm also looking forward for other people who are coming. Yes, but looking forward to meeting the people in that area, but other people who are coming specifically, and to get to know the people there. I think it's going to be fantastic, because, it's got a different vibe than I think West Hollywood did last year. And I think people are excited. I mean, we had a lot of people raise their hands to say, I want to participate. I want to present, a lot more than they did previously. So I think it's going to be a really good program that we have for people. And we're also going to have a lot of ways for them to interact with each other so they can get to know each other, because participants have told us time and time again is that they really want to connect with their fellow feminists and attendees at the conference. And I think people getting to know about, because I know you're right that not everyone knows the history of the National History Alliance or even Women's Month, which is a thing that we celebrate, but I guess we don't think about the beginnings of it.
Well, and that's really important, because we're standing on the shoulders, and it also gives you confidence. I mean, when you read the story of what they went through just to get the week,
Women's History Month for a week, or just to get it in all the information they got in history books was just amazing. Well, talk a little bit about, you're going to have two workshops. What do workshops entail?
So we're going to have two workshops. One of them, a lot of the topics that we selected were based on what we asked people, what do you want to hear about? They told us we want to hear about racial justice. We want to know what's happening with the ERA and how we can help with that. And so the racial justice, the title of that is called Don't Be an Ally, which means Addie Ellis, who is going to be leading that workshop, is going to talk to us about how to be a true ally for people of color. So I'm really excited to hear from her. She's also bringing some books that she's written, poetry on isms. So I'm excited to get a copy of her book when she's there. And the other workshop is going to be about the ERA. It's about things that people can do in their chapters and also in their neighborhood, in their community, to help us get the ERA published once and for all, because, it's been ratified. We've done all of the things that we were required. And now all we need is to bring it to get it published. And there's a lot of different strategies that people are working on and together. But what we want to focus is what can people do collectively.
And also, I understand you're going to have some sort of exercise or something on get out the vote, and here we are. Here we are having the national conference around when I hear a woman is nominated to be the running for president of the United States. Amazing, amazing.
It is amazing, but it's going to help. It's going to take all of us to help her get elected because, people who run for office are not elected without others helping them. And that's it'll be the next focus of what we're doing, because we are going to have this really beautiful, it's a tangible art project that we're going to do together, and we're going to show people how to do it and how they can amplify the message about getting out the vote. And I'm very excited about it. It's going to be a visual thing, and it's going to be something that they can reuse, something that they can create in their ongoing getting out the vote events, because, as you know, we really have to. We were planning to do work to support Biden's reelection, but now we have to really step it up because, electing a woman is not. We have not been able to do that in this country.
Well, I think if it's good enough for Mexico, it's good enough for the United States.
Yes, and to me, it was shocking that Mexico had a president before we did, because Mexico is much more conservative than we are.
I know.
As a whole country. That I was shocked. I almost fell off my chair when I found out that they had a woman's president. I'm like, we have to do it.
Well, it shows that, we've come a long way. I've got my fingers and toes crossed. Well, that brings us into, I think, what the final topic that we're going to talk about is that how important it is for women to gather and to become part of now. Talk about that. Why do you think particularly right now it's really, really important that we put our name into the membership?
And, I think it's important because, we're not unique. I meet a lot of women sometimes talking about what I do or talking about, my We Spark work, whatever. And I meet a region talking to people in the community, and a lot of people want to help and they want to do something and they want to get involved because they, like us, are furious about what's happening with laws that are being passed to prohibit women from, reaching their full potential. So they too want to do something, but they don't know. So having an organization like NOW, that is a grassroots organization, and anybody can join and work on these issues, it's a powerful thing, grassroots organizing, because things actually do happen because it's everybody getting together, everybody telling their friends and just continuing to grow that collective power of sisterhood.
Well, there's two things that are really important that are happening besides of the wonderful speakers and the wonderful organization coming together. But the fact that, you know, we'll be able to gather, people can actually join at the conference. Mm-hmm. They can join now.
Yes.
And also the fact that we're going to have a second historic calendar. I don't know if you know this, but the first calendar we did, our board of supervisors actually made it a historic document for the county, which was amazing. A beautiful, beautiful calendar. And so we're going to have that there. Plus, it's just going to be amazing. So why don't you fill us in on the logistics, on where it is, the time that it's happening, what people have to do when they get there. And you know, I also know that you want people to go on a website and get tickets so we have an idea of how many people are coming. So go ahead and give us that information if you can.
Yes. So, you know, people can log on to our website, which is canow.org. And on there we have a tab that they can access, and it has all the information on how to get tickets, how to volunteer, because we also need volunteers to help us put together the whole event and get involved. And if people want to table, they can tell us that. All of that information, you can find it at canow.org on like the different topics. But the conference, the doors, we are opening them at 9 o'clock. In Santa Rosa at the Church of the Roses. And the address for the Church of the Roses is 2500 Court in Santa Rosa. And so while the doors are opening, we won't really start, like the full start, till probably about 9:45, which will start with Elaine's Pledge, and then we'll continue the day from there.
Oh, yeah, I just thank you for mentioning it. I am so honored that you're allowing me to do that. I mean, that is just amazing. And also, what's really wonderful is our dear friend Ana Salgado will also read the pledge in Spanish. So
that's great.
So it's really going to be, well, we're at the end of our segment here. Any last words, anything you'd like? I know it's a free event, you know, and everybody is welcome, and it's right across.
Everybody is welcome.
And we have also, if you go online, I think you have the different arrangements if people are coming from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So there's different hotels that have agreed at certain pricing. Well, Camarena, thank you so much for coming on Women's Spaces. And any last words, anything you'd like to just say to our listeners?
My last word is join us on August 10th, but also sign the ERA petition, the sign for ERA petition. Those are my last two things. And thank you.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you on the 10th.
I know. Me too.
Well, what a great interview. And what a great woman she is. I mean, to take on the whole California, to have to run all these chapters. I mean, it's enough. I know it's just one chapter is enough. But imagine all the chapters in California. Now we're going to be coming together here in Sonoma County again. That's on August 10th. And all the information that she gave is also on nowsonoma.org. That you also can look at the information there. And also you can go to www.womenspaces.com. We have a listing. I have a listing of all the announcements I make and also everything around the conference. And what was so exciting, you know, I want to see everybody there. I want to see that room so packed that we say, oh, my God, we don't have enough chairs. That's what I want. Every woman in all counties that are listening to this should be at that event. It's very, very important that we gather. And, you know, we are making history. 2024 is a historic election. And we all have our fingers crossed. We hope it comes out well. We hope it comes out in the way that it should so we can move and make improve our democracy and make it a lot, lot better. Anyway, this is Elaine B. Holt. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. And like I do at every single week, I remind people our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that.
You know, if there's one child suffering in the world, if there's one child being hurt in the world, every child has that potential. You know, I remember when Eugene Udeb said, if there's one man in jail, I am not free. Well, if there's one child crying out there, there are many, many children crying, and we must pay attention. Anyway, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening. I look forward to seeing you the next time. In fact, you can listen to Women's Spaces tonight at 11 o'clock. We have the rerun, and also every Monday from 11 to 12. And thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
A woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 22nd, 2024.